The creators call it, I'm schmacked.
I'm schmacked.
Getting schmacked.
I'm schmacked.
I'm schmacked.
Getting schmacked.
Well, Chris, it's called getting schmacked.
Don't let this be our final song.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Smack Talk Podcast. Today, I have one for a guest. None other than the CEO, director, manager, supervisor, employee, admin, marketing, stylist for White Knight TP Hire, Sasha Donnelly. Is that a fair
yeah, that pretty much sums it all up, yeah.
So for anyone that doesn't know Sasha, you do like event management?
Yeah, so I do like events management and events planning, styling, kind of pretty much everything to do
everything,
with events.
Everything that's just named there. Are you a one person band like for your company, or how does it work?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty much a solo woman, like.
That's the things you do too are quite like, it's no easy task setting up because you have like beds in the MTPs and like the TPs themselves can't be up. How do you deal with that?
Well, I have help setting the actual TPs up, like, because they're way too big for me to put up on my own, so I have someone who comes in and helps me with that. But the rest of it, like the styling, the marketing, the planning, all that, there, it's all me really. So
that's crazy. That's a lot of lifting. Like, it's, I wouldn't fancy doing that myself.
Oh my god, yeah, like, it's, they're so heavy, like each tent is like, I see, I'm saying this is so heavy, but maybe to other people who go to the gym, it's not.
Yeah.
But like, each tent is like a minimum of like 30 kilos. Like, for me, I'm a wee girl. Like, you know, this is very hard to carry.
I suppose it's a good workout for you.
It actually is. I literally don't need to go to the gym because I'm constantly carrying heavy stuff, whether it's tables, chairs, like, it's constantly carrying heavy stuff. Like,
and I'm interested to like how you originally got into it. Like, some people were asking, is it like you spotted like a gap in the market for TP hire, or was it like you know, whatever was related to what you did in uni? Or,
well, in uni I did events management, so I kind of, like, when I was going through uni, I kind of did different kind of events experience in different areas. So like, I done the likes of like, I done experience with Creamfields, like I worked backstage with them, and then I kind of tried a whole lot of different areas, and I was like, god, I'd really want to try weddings now. And I was at a wedding where they had the big massive Nordic TPs, and I was like, oh, this is class, I'd love to do something like this. And then looked into it last July, I started looking into it, and for those big massive TPs, they were just so expensive. Like, I was 22, and for one of those TPs on its own, it was like 10 grand, and that was before you even came across any of the other equipment that you needed. And so I was like, right, this is expensive, what's the smallest I can start off with? So I kind of, that's how I came across the wee smaller TPs, the canvas bell tents, and I was like, god, you know, this is a good way to start out, and then I can eventually build it up to bigger ones.
Was it sort of like, you know, just the way of the world, like you could only do outside events? Was that like sort of the process as well, the thought process behind it?
Yeah, I was kind of like, you know, I had seen a woman from down south who was doing something similar, but she was kind of very focused on kids, like sleepovers, kids' birthday parties, and that was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that before. So I was like, god, I'd really love to take this kind of into the event sector and really kind of glow it up. So I seen that, and then with the combination of the wedding TPs, I was like, right, this is kind of the smallest I can start out with this, and then that's kind of really,
it's sort of, because we were talking about, like, just before we started recording this, like, in terms of, like, just for myself in the podcast, you have to sort of start out with, it's not an easy, like, initial purchase to make, but you have to, like, throw yourself in. Like,
I was saying,
I've told the story before, like, I literally maxed out my overdraft to get Joe everything that I needed, and even at that, you know, you always want more,
You're
like, because I look at your stuff, and as a fucking straight white male, I have to say, it is very cute.
Like, oh my god,
it is, like, and all, like, all them wee knick-knacky things, like light bulbs and all, like, they're not cheap once you
god, like, if you could see my storage facilities, oh my god, like, it's crazy the amount of stuff. I went from this wee, like, small 10 foot container to now I've got 30 foot, like, you know, it's crazy the amount of stuff that you go through. Yeah, it's just mad. But like, see, making that initial first purchase, like, I remember sitting my finger on the button to hit buy for about half an hour. Will I, won't I, what if this happens, what if this, like, doesn't happen, will people think of me? No, I can't do it. And then I eventually came back and I just thought, fuck it, and I hit it without even thinking about it.
That's what you have to do. You just have to literally just go, right, fuck it.
Yeah.
And just, like, hit the button and worry about it. I always find, even with, like, stupid things, you only, like, you get, like, fucking, like, a new clothes haul or something like that. You, just, you literally just have to be, like, once you've spent the money, it doesn't matter. Just forget about it, put it in the back of your mind, and look forward to the parcel coming.
I'm too bad with friggin' shopping. Like, especially, like, personally, I buy so many clothes and so much shit, but now in the business that's transferred over, I'm like constantly like, oh, that cushion's really nice. Like, everybody slags me. They're like, oh my God, have you come home with more cushions again?
What is the crack with cushions and women? Like, what is the story there? I'm just sitting in this room and my dad's obsessed with cushions and he never throws anything out. Sorry, everybody, the wasp came in there and I had to run over it. I'm like, what was I saying? Oh yeah, women and pillows.
Yes, women and pillows.
It's like, in my room, in my bed, there's one pillow because I sleep with one pillow. Now, why do women feel the need to have like 10 pillows?
You know, funny enough, I only have 2 pillows on my own bed, but then I literally just have, I would say since I started the business, I've gone through about 40 pillows. Like, seriously. Yeah, definitely. And then there's the Christmas ones too, about Christmas ones as well. So, you know, it's really
endless.
It's
like a seasonal thing, isn't it?
And then I'm like, seeing there's Halloween stuff in the range, when I go up and get some Halloween pillows? I'm like,
oh, yeah, just go all out.
Yeah.
So I want to actually start off with, like, go back to the very beginning. So, like, well, maybe skip school, but, like, university. So you went and studied event management, is that right?
Yeah, so I left school and went to Liverpool. That was completely unplanned because I had, like, only applied to London and Newcastle. And then last minute, on the day of results, I got into both and I was like, nah, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I head off to Liverpool. And it was class. Liverpool was unreal, and it's some city for events too.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually found the course really not up to my standard. Like,
this is the thing, because, like, and again, I was said about my own business degree, like, not really overly, what would be the best way to put it? You know, people do them sort of degrees, and it's like,
yeah,
why, like, you know, you don't need to do that to do what it is you're doing. That'd be your first statement.
Like, yeah, well, I didn't know. Like, I literally didn't have a clue.
All right, another Walter. Yeah, so university. So, as I was saying, like, the whole, like, you know, you do a certain degree and, like, you know, people might look at, like, events management. People are like, do you really need to do that?
Yeah. See, that was the thing. Like, before I left to go to uni, I was one of those people where I literally didn't have a clue what I want to do. Like, in Our Ladies, you're very much pushed towards going down the kind of law route or going into medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, they have high expectations and they don't really, you know, consider anything else.
Yeah.
So I was kind of one of these people where I was like, right, I don't know what I can do. And then I was like, right, what am I good at? And I was good at organizing things. And then that's how I came across this course, events management. And mm-hmm. I was like, I've never heard that in my life. Like, this is so strange. So anyway, I just applied for all those courses. But actually, it is one of those things that some people would say, you know, you're better just getting experience in the field and working up. Like, you don't necessarily need a degree for it.
Yeah.
But then the degree is very versatile. Like, it's quite businessy based, marketing based, and then events. You know, like, we actually did very little on events.
Yeah.
And my course in Liverpool, it was really, I don't know, I would say it probably was bad. Like, you're doing an events management course and you only ran your first event at the end of your second year.
Right, okay, yeah.
So then at the end of my second year, I had to come home. So I came home and went to do my third year in Jordanstown,
because
they do it as well. And then they told me, oh no, if you want to do it, you have to completely start all over again.
What is the crack with that?
I have no idea.
In those situations, like, well, yeah, you did 2 years in a legit degree, but yeah, for us, it must be a money thing.
I don't know what it is. It's so annoying. And so then I came home and I was like, right, what am I going to do here? And then they said that you actually have to go 2 years through Belfast Met and then you can go into your third year in Jordanstown. So I was like, right. So at the time, I was like, I'll just do whatever that will suit. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, it was unreal. Belfast Met, it's such a stigmatized place, I think. Like, it was I never even heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
Before I had to go there, I never heard of it. And it's so, like, I've always heard people saying, oh, Belfast Met, no, but it is unreal. Like, I went there and there was like 24 of us in our class, and it was just the best of crack. You're still doing the same degree, but it was just so much better. You've got that kind of one-on-one time with your tutors and all that there that you don't get in university.
Was it more like classroomy vibe?
It really was.
That's
yeah,
what I found with, like texts and stuff like that.
Yeah. If you're not there in uni, there's no push to go to your lectures and stuff. And when I was in Liverpool, I never went to lectures. Like, everybody would be surprised if I turned up. And, like, that was completely the opposite to what I was like in school. I'd never miss a day in school. So going to Belfast Met, if you didn't turn up, you know, people be like, oh, why are you not here? And you always had that motivation to go. Yeah. But like, I really, really enjoyed it. Like, you got so close with your classmates and everything. Mm-hmm. And the course itself was amazing. Like, it was so practical for an events management course. You ran 2 events per year. So in the 2 years there, I ran 4 events. And as opposed to going to Liverpool, paying $9,000 a year and you only do one event.
Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense. It's like with a lot of these things, like, it's all hands-on experience. Yeah. You said, like, you might have got more value out of, you know, actually working in the field, but being able to, like, learn and actually run events while you're doing both makes so much more sense.
Exactly, like, and then you just really challenge yourself. Like, every time we've done an event, we always aimed higher for the next one. Mm-hmm. And the experience that you get doing those things is class. Like, so I really just think that Belfast Met is amazing. And then I had to do my last year in Jordanstown, my final year there, mm-hmm. Which I done last year. And see, being the whole, like, online thing, oh my god.
Oh, you had to go through that, yeah.
Oh my god, for my final year, it was all online.
That's brutal. Do you think it was easier? Like, did you have any exams around, or was it mostly coursework?
It was mostly coursework, yeah. I think it might have been easier because I never would have went to the lectures anyway. Yeah. And see, even the online lectures, I literally think I tuned into about 5 the whole year.
It speaks volumes, because, like, we were talking in our, like, uni group chat there yesterday about what modules we're going to pick.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, week one, like, see us all in. And, like, 3 out of, like, the 5 people in that chat were like, I'm actually booked a holiday for that week. Like, don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah,
like,
you really
like,
don't.
Caught up. Like, it really doesn't matter what the hell's going on.
It really doesn't. I literally would never tune into a lecture. Like, every time I did, I would just fall asleep, you mm-hmm. know, because, like, it's hard enough to listen to somebody in person for 2 hours. But whenever they're on the laptop and you're sitting there, it's like, dear God, you just
have every other
mute.
Distraction around you.
Yeah. It was brutal, but I literally just went on and just got the material and just learned it myself.
Do you think though? Sometimes, like, I find with, like, my degree, like, business, I've always been interested in that, and, like, would like to think I've quite a good level of common sense. Do you think like, for yours, like, common sense brought you a long way? Do you know, just like event management, like, just, you know,
yeah,
it's like you picked a good degree for yourself, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I wouldn't, like, for talk's sake, like, you go into medicine, you can't, like, fucking guess things, you know,
yes.
You have to learn the
yeah.
stuff, whereas, like, event management and business-y sort of courses, you sort of be like,
you have it or you don't. It's
yeah,
kind of like
it is.
A
because I remember we did, like, questions one time, and, like, the guy was like, should your manager be, like, best mates with the employees? And I was like, obviously not. And then people, like, half the room were arguing me, like, oh, they definitely should. Like,
yeah.
No, like, you can't be best mates with your employee, like, that's not how it works. And then in that moment I was like, here, fuck, some people just don't, you know, aren't the same level, like,
mm-hmm.
but it's probably the same to you in terms of, like, the event management,
mm-hmm.
and you just sort of go off on your whim and be like, you know, you know how to run a good event before you've run one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, whenever I was running events, there were some people and I was like, how do they not know how to do this? Like,
yeah.
how can they be doing this and not know how to do it? Like,
yeah.
this is the basic 101.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't know how to do this, why are you doing this full stop?
Yeah, I find, like, a lot of stuff is, like, you don't necessarily know how to do something, but know not what.
Not what to do.
Don't do this. There's certain rules you can't do. Like, I'm trying to think of stuff off the top of my head, but for events management, I imagine, like, you know, make sure everything runs on time would be, like, or as close to time as possible. Make sure people are where they need to be, you know. Make sure things are set up before the doors open. You know, things are, like, in place. Whereas I suppose you have some people just be like, ah, be dead on.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, sometimes we'd be doing an event and there was one event in particular and there was just had to be, like, so much going on. And it would always be, like, the same 3 people in the class
mm-hmm.
running around making sure everything was done as opposed to, like, out of what, 24 people, and you'd see people stand about and you were like,
oh, like,
I'm
like,
sweating.
Does that physically give you anxiety, those sort of things? Like, do those sort of events coming up to the day, you're like, this has to fucking run good.
Yeah, but I thrive off that. Like,
yeah.
I live for event day, like,
mm-hmm.
the stress. I don't know what it is, I just love the stress and the pressure of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does really, really get to you, but I don't know, I think it just makes me feel good.
Yeah, no, literally, it's everything. People have find their thing. Like, for me, it was all, like, speaking out loud in front of people and, like, doing class presentations. People fucking are near having mental breakdowns.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll do your lines if you want. Like, I don't care. Like, you'll not be able to shut me up once you get me up there. Like, and if people literally, like, being sick and all, I'm like, I don't get this.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, like, event day, and you're just like, right, it's sink or swim time.
Yeah,
let's
really.
Let's get this shit rolling. Like,
yeah.
Are you, like, do you ever see Friends and Monica? And she's, like, you know, control freak. Everything has to run at a certain time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
1501, like, using the military time and all.
Like, we were doing a fashion show in the Europa, and all the models, oh, my God, the logistics of it was insane. But all the models, like, some of them were late and stuff, and then some people's dresses wouldn't fit. And then this girl got up and she didn't come down in time for makeup and she couldn't get into her dress. And I was like, she has to be on the stage in 2 minutes. Why is she not dressed? And then I was like, right, fuck it. I was like, give me her dress. I'm putting her dress on. I'm getting on the stage. And I literally just turned around, went up on the stage and did it and then came back down. And I was like, right, that's that done. Where's your next dress? Give me an eye. Like, it's so like in this line of work, you have to be on the ball, like,
yeah.
Everything has to be done in a certain time, and, like, I find that so stressful now in my own business, which is, it's different from just running events as a group of people, like,
mm-hmm.
like, with the business now, if I have a hen party, and I have to be there by 2 o'clock to start doing this, and have it all set up, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong before that, like, you forget something, you need to turn around and
mm-hmm.
get it. And see, whenever you're not on time, whenever I'm not on time like that, it stresses me out so much,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I'm such a time person. Like, yeah. I'm the biggest. Even, like, just meeting mates, I have to show up on time. If someone,
yeah.
Do you remember, like, I remember going to, like, Princeton when I was, like, 18 and stuff like that, and people were like, oh, yeah, I come from, like, 7. And I never understood this in time, but 7 o'clock to me means, you know, it starts at 7.
Yeah.
So I would show up at, like, 6:45, and he's like, well, and like,
you're the only person
yeah.
there.
I was like, he's not even dressed yet. He's just not even ready. I was like, you said 7. And he goes, yeah, it's 6:45. And then everyone else shows up like 7:30, 8. And it goes,
yeah.
7 means 6:30. Like, no, in my brain, you tell me the time, I'm coming at that time.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you can't, I'm not going to wait on anybody else. You tell me the time, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Understand.
I was literally like, we were out last week, a week before, and we were at Praise, and my friend told me to be there for 4 o'clock. So I showed up at 4 o'clock, fully dressed. Like, I've been getting ready from 12 o'clock that day, and arrived at 4 o'clock, was the only person there, nobody was there. And then, like, I was texting my friend and they didn't come until like 6 o'clock, and I was like, why is nobody here? The praise started 2 hours ago.
I don't understand how people can mentally do that. Do you know, like,
yeah.
if someone invites you somewhere for a certain time, I know they might mean a wee bit later, but, like, to me, it's like, that's the time.
Yeah.
You know, don't show up any later
yeah.
than that. And me and my whole family got the same thing. It's fucking time crazy people. Like.
Yeah. No, I think in my personal life, I'm a bit bad, though. Sometimes I feel like I am kind of late.
Depends what it is. See, if it's work. Like, whenever I worked there for the last 6 months, I would rock up to work at 1:01. Had it down to
yeah,
an absolute masterclass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
people there from, like, 9:45 being like, oh, look, he's walking through
yeah.
the doors. I actually have an hour 60 seconds here before I start.
yeah.
Like, I'm here early. Like, this is early for me. But it depends what the situation is. If something I'm going to have fun in, 100% I'll be there early.
Mm.
If it's work, I'll show up on the button.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Don't really give a fuck.
Like, whenever I work in Sainsbury's and in retail and stuff like that there, if your shift started at 9 o'clock, I would literally be leaving the house at 9 o'clock
yeah.
be there
yeah.
to clock in for like 3 minutes.
My back. Like my first ever comedy, the first time I did stand-up comedy, I arrived. The show started. Say the show started at 8:30, doors at 7:30. I was there from 6 o'clock. There was nobody else there. I wasn't on stage to 10:30. 4.5 hours early, like a maniac. And by the time I got up, I had just like, I was like, only thing I can do here, we're in a pub, just drink.
Yeah.
Just drink on my own. And then whenever I seen the actual guy who like organized the event come in, I like hid from him because I didn't want to look crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I am
so
excited.
Eager.
Yeah. He's like, what time did you get here? I goes, just about 5 minutes ago. Like, me starting to get a bit tipsy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, but yeah, time's a big one. If you're listening to this and you don't fucking be on time, get with the program, folks.
Yeah.
Get with the absolute program. I sort of want to go back into the TP stuff again, because like it's such a niche thing, but we're sort of talking about beforehand, we are starting to see it more and more.
Yes, definitely.
And like, we're not talking about, like, don't get it like twisted, you didn't invent the wheel, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Like glamping and outside stuff was a big thing, but like, how frustrating is it when you see people blatantly just steal the idea that you've worked so hard on?
Yeah, so like whenever I started, I was really like the only one like up in the north who
mm-hmm.
was really kind of full on in it. I think there was maybe one or two businesses maybe away up on the north or something, but they weren't, you know, on the scale that I was doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that was last August I started, and up until maybe May time this year, I was very much used to being kind of the leader in that kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the whole pandemic thing, the past year, like all the lockdowns, then a lot of other people really started to catch on. Like we've been like, I've been talking to other people in the events industry and they've been saying the same thing, like, I'm doing balloons and such and such. There's so many other people now that have come to the forefront. And it was literally the exact same of me. Like, I just kept seeing more and more businesses similar to mine come up. And, you know, it was hard because, like, sometimes there was customers of mine that were inquiring with me and trying to get booked in and couldn't. The next thing I turn around and they would have a TP business set up. Literally the copying the exact same things. So that was kind of hard. And then there was other things where other businesses were copying, you know, like maybe my style or different kind of ways that I was doing things. And that was, I know that they say like imitation is the biggest form of flattery or whatever, but
it's also annoying as fuck.
It is, like, whenever it's a business thing, like I would spend hours you know, like researching different kind of styles, putting together mood boards, trying to find different suppliers for different things, you know, comparing items, you know, that kind of stuff. I'd put a lot of thought into it before I'd bring the physical final whatever. So there'd be a lot of work behind the scenes to bring that. And then I would turn around and a few weeks later, the next business would have just went and copied the exact same thing. And it's like, how do you do this? Because I literally go and find these things, like, from really weird places, you know, like, put a lot of thought into finding them from places that other people aren't really going to get them. But it is one of these things that it just happens, and you do kind of have to be flattered by it, like, because nobody's going to copy you unless they like your stuff, you know. So it's kind of, it's hard as a business owner. I'm not sure what way other business owners deal with it, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where
I'm trying to think, like, probably the biggest thing you probably compare it to is, like, just, you know, the general glamping pods. Like, just, not that that's what you're doing, but you know what I mean? Like, that sort of industry. Like,
yeah, that's,
you've seen
really
one or two of them. And,
now and it's blown up.
It's fucking ever. But the thing is, they all seem to be getting a piece of the pie as well, though. Like, you know what, there's loads of business for that as well, which is okay. But whenever it's something as niche as, like, you know, what you're doing, fuck, it would drive me insane. Like, everyone's doing glamping, and, like, the price of them for, like, you know, I think if I'm trying to break it down here is, like, you know, the glamping pods are there, they're set up. You don't do much to them.
You don't know.
They're there. You're putting everything up, taking it down. You know,
mine's
someone
a lot
wants something.
Personal.
Personalized, that's what I'm trying
to say. I would try to tailor my events to my customers and, you know, add wee touches and things like that. That's going to kind of set me above the competition and that. Like, that's why my customers come to me, because I do give the best. I try to give my best as much as possible. But, like, I was talking to other, you know, I've socialised quite a bit with other people in the events industry, you know, people similar to me. And, you know, we were talking about the amount of new businesses that have come about in events this year and how we're all dealing with, you know, not the, the extra competition. And, you know, people were saying, they're just saying to me, look, I know it's frustrating if you do feel like somebody's copying you or whatever, but you just have to remember that, like, nobody can copy your passion. And then I was like, that's true. And they were saying, you know, they're copying you for a reason, whereas you know you can bring the next best thing. Like, you already have it in your head what you're going to bring, and they can't copy that.
You can't beat that initial, you know, new thing. You know, it's going to take a wee while for them people to get up to that sort of speed.
Yeah, exactly.
So talk to me then about, like, what a typical customer would be like. Because, like I said, it's all very cute and stuff, but probably wouldn't appeal to me and the boys. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was trying to actually figure this out for you, because now that we're talking on, like, competitive edge and all, like, maybe, like, a boy scene TP. Now, I know boys aren't overly into TPs.
No, I've had this, people say this to me before and everything, and, like, about poker night TPs and all, I'm like, oh.
The first thing that came to my mind, I'm sorry for fucking my girlfriend who listens to these, like, there's a massive pole in the middle. Stripper pole.
It is literally, Shaw. Like, I literally have it on my terms and condition page.
This is not a stripper pole.
Do not dance around the middle pole or the whole thing will fall down. It's so funny. Like,
it's funny when, like, you create a business, you never think to yourself, like, I'm gonna have to write a fucking stripper pole terms and conditions in my, like, iron.
I know, you don't think that that's where your life is gonna be. Like, I had a wedding there in May, and I absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. And my bride and groom, they were so lovely, and the bride is such a beautiful person, you know. And they had sent me over this video of, you know, just from the like the wedding day, like just the way you kind of put together video, and at the end that kind of just kind of progresses as the video goes on, it like from really civil to then like all the kind of the dancing at the end, and like the last shot at the end is like the best man like dropping it while his heart around the pole, like, and I'm like, oh.
Like, I was going to pretend I didn't say that.
Yeah,
but, like,
I'm like,
glad you had a lovely day.
I'll let them get away with that one.
So, like, the main thing seems to be, like, wedding stuff. So, weddings and, like,
hen parties yeah.
and stuff like that there. Yeah. So, like, what's the tip? What's probably have the most fun with what, would you say? Would hen parties be quite fun, or are they?
Well, whenever I start off, it's all kind of really glamping and birthday parties and stuff. But this year, it's been really, really focused on hen parties. Like, mm-hmm. I'd have at least one hen party weekend. And I had a few weddings this summer as well. Like, weddings would be my goal. But I love the hen parties as well, because mm-hmm. you get to do kind of these nice wee girly touches. Like,
yeah.
like I was making hangover kits and all the other day, you know, mm-hmm. these wee things that I like to be creative, that yeah. I can be creative in. So the hen parties are great crack, because the girls are fantastic. And, you know, I'd come back on site sometimes during the actual hen party.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be like cocktail people and stuff set up, and see coming down, and you kind of get to be part of that atmosphere for a yeah. while, and it's really cool. Like, so definitely hen parties are kind of my typical customer base, mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way really going forward, I think, because, you know, it's hard for hen parties at the minute, because whenever you think of a hen party, people usually go abroad,
yeah.
or, you know, they'd go up to Belfast and stay over and whatnot, mm-hmm. but at the minute, you know, nobody can really do those things, mm-hmm. and if you can, it's not necessarily enjoyable, because you're split up at a table of six people and all is here. So kind of these outdoor home events are what's really the main kind yeah. of thing.
And then talking about weddings, because again, as a boy, I have no fucking idea what goes into a wedding, like,
oh,
or like
my God.
The preparation. Obviously it's a big, like, people obviously are fucking massive, it's their yes. wedding day, it's huge, like,
uh-huh.
and like the fact that I actually talked to Keeve about when she was playing musical weddings, and like to be chosen for someone's
yes.
wedding is massive.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The trust that someone's putting in
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But like, as a boy, all I think of for a wedding is get a decent suit,
yeah,
good grub, good music. But there's obviously a million one other things
yeah,
that you don't even
really
think
is.
About that goes into it. What's the sort of stuff you would have at like your typical wedding?
So one of my weddings this summer that really stood out to me was one with one of my lovely brides, Charlotte. And so Charlotte, she was kind of in a place where she didn't know what was going on with her wedding. And she actually only booked in with me maybe about 8 weeks beforehand, you know. It was quite like a close window.
You sort of had to do that this year, because you
yeah.
know, everything changed so quickly.
Everything was changing all the time, especially for weddings that didn't know where they were coming or going. But that was just an amazing experience from start to finish, because, you know, you meet with your bride, you know, over the laptop, over Zoom or whatever, just to kind of talk through your initial consultations. You need to really, whenever you're doing weddings, it's such a personal thing. Like, you're such a key person in this key moment of that person's life, so you really have to get to know your bride, like, on a real personal level. It's different to hen parties and stuff like that. There is kind of the same thing goes, but for a wedding, you have to make sure that you're meeting those expectations that your bride and groom has, because it's something they're going to remember for the rest of their life. So
yeah.
you have to make sure you're on the ball. So yeah, so that went kind of from event concept to actually putting the event together. And that week I was having the biggest nightmare, Sean. It was horrendous. So this was like the first week in May, and I had a hen party at the weekend before, and it was one of my big massive tents, and there was a like a storm.
Mm-hmm.
The tent completely, like, one of the doors, they had their own teepee as well, and they asked me to connect my teepee up to their teepee, so I did that. But then they took their teepee down, and then, like, one of my doors wasn't secured down the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing, there was the wind, and the whole thing completely collapsed.
Oh, fuck.
Like, no. Oh, this was a brand new teepee.
Yeah.
It was the first time it was out. It was completely collapsed. And, like, we went up, and it was the rain. I've never seen anything like in my life. Like, you know that kind of rain where you're literally, you may as well not be wearing clothes, because you're just completely soaked through.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that kind of situation and you see all your stuff lying on the ground, like, that tent is full of glass, it's full of all these other things, and this weather's going on, and you have to try save what you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see, just running back and forth trying to save things from it. And then we eventually got it sorted anyway, and I picked the teepee up somehow, and I was like, what am I gonna do? I have to start putting a wedding up on Wednesday. Like, this teepee is fucked. What am I gonna do? I can't get another one. So then that was going on, and then on the Tuesday my dissertation was due. So I was like sitting up trying to finish off my dissertation.
Because of course, like any good dissertation, you have to, you know, finish it the night before.
Yeah. You have to just do those final touches. So that was going on, and I had this tent, and I was like, how the fuck am I going to dry it? Like, it was completely flooded. I was like, how am I going to dry this out? But anyway, we took it down to their wedding was in Glasdrummond, like just before you come to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. So it was a really scenic place, and we put the teepee up, and it was soaking, it was dirty and everything, but it was still going up, and that's all that mattered to me. So I had to get some heaters in, dry it all out and everything. So that was the stress part of making sure, because like my bride was talking to me, and I was like, I honestly don't know if...
Were you being honest the whole time? Did you have to have the poker face? Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. That is going well.
And like with brides too, you know, to turn around and all this here going on a few days before her wedding, mm-hmm. you know, that's obviously very stressful. So you kind of try to make that as easy of a process as you can for them. So I was just like, Charlotte, I'm just going through a bit of a nightmare at the minute, but don't worry, it'll be okay. We'll get it sorted. And then like I was going down to, they had like their own location, you know, it was based at home. Mm-hmm. So I was going down there and starting to set things up, get the heaters and all in. Yeah, we put the heaters in, and the next thing, the electric blew. And they live in Belfast. So I was ringing her at like 11:30 at night, being like, oh, Charlotte, can I climb in through your window here to try and get this electric working? So then the electric blew. And then I was like, you know, Charlotte, I don't want to risk this electric blowing, you know, on the day of your wedding. I was like, I think you need to get a generator.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So this poor bride, the day before her wedding, I was just saying to her, you know, I really don't want to be that one responsible. I was like, she had to go get a generator then. But anyway, so the teepee was grand. I'd kind of got over the nightmare. We were getting there, we were sorted. But like the process of setting up for that wedding, I was spending like 4 days on site. And like the night before the actual wedding, I was actually still in the tent at like 2:00 in the morning, just, you know, putting things on napkin rings and all that there, you know, doing all my final touches, make sure I was all prepared. But like, I'm very lucky. I have a really good friend, who's also called Charlotte. She's a florist, so she would come down and like she'd stay at all hours helping me. You know, we help each other out. So we literally were there all night, and it was freezing cold, and it was like pitch black, still going in and sticking up lights and everything. And then the wedding day comes, and you're back on site in the morning making sure everything's okay. You know, you're getting the caterers there, you're making sure the cocktail people get there okay. You know, you're just making sure everything's all right. And then next thing, I'm back a few hours later again. I'm like, I'm just going to pick off some of these glasses. Don't mind me. Yeah. I'm just going to do some dishes here, you know.
Because, you know, it paints a picture that it's so glamorous. Yeah. Because, like, when the final product's on, it looks amazing. Yeah. And you just think, like, God, this is lovely. And as you said, you go around, oh, just touch up these flowers here. Yeah. And then 12 hours before, you're literally pulling your hair out, trying to get the whole thing organized.
Oh my God, it's just crazy. Like, it's really, everybody like thinks it's so glamorous, and it's really not. Like, the final thing is glamorous, but that is maybe, takes maybe 2 hours to make that glamorous, but that's not the 10 hours that you see behind the scenes.
Did you expect that, like, the amount of like work that you're putting in, did you expect that before you started all this, or was this like something you're like, oh my God, I didn't realize it would be this
crazy? Yeah, I didn't think it would be this crazy, but I didn't expect to level up so big so quickly, if that makes sense, because it's only been a year. I definitely did not expect to be doing the big weddings that I have done this year, so I'm really blessed for that. But you know, this was only supposed to be a wee sleepover thing last year, and then now it's like, they're with my bride Charlotte, like they actually had their main, that was only supposed to be like a wee small thing for the day of their wedding day whenever they actually got married, and they're supposed to have like a big marquee wedding a few months later. And then they said to me, oh no, we've actually cancelled the marquee wedding because that was lovely. And like, that's the moment where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is the stage that I'm at.
And like, would you find that you're like quite a people pleaser? Like, it sounds like you are, just like you have to do all the wee touches and you can't just leave it.
Oh, I can't. I have to make sure that I go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. Like, even for my weddings, you know, I don't just do the event style and the event plan and all that there. Like, I like to be a kind of personal person for my bride and groom. Like, I like to make sure that I'm around there, you know, if they need me, they know how to get to me. And like, at whenever I go to my weddings, you know, I'll come back the next morning and, you know, like, even fill up like glass bottles with dilute and everything for the tables.
That's a job,
you know,
in
like,
itself, though. Like, you have people that are like designated thing, like hotels and stuff. They,
they do
like,
have
the
like,
wedding coordinator and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
that's a job
there.
In itself. So add that to the list of stuff I see in the start as well. Wedding coordinator.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. I'm honestly like so impressed by how you do it, but I have to ask. I need, obviously, you told me quite a few good stories. I need, have you had any like nightmare stories? Like,
Definitely.
Because like, we sort of talked in this before, and I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. Like, would you call yourself an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
So yeah, so you're a young entrepreneur, especially like as a female young entrepreneur. Like, tell me, like, did you find that was quite difficult for you because of like, you know, the stereotypes and stuff like that,
yeah.
Or like, do you think that's unfair?
It's one of these things that still annoys me. I find like I'm 23 and I am quite young looking. I know I look about 18 or whatever, but I feel like that sometimes people do underestimate me. Like, I can turn up for a booking to, you know, do a booking, and you know, I can see people looking twice at me like, what's this wee girl doing here?
Yeah.
You know, or you know, I have had some kind of condescending people in the past you know, maybe they thought I was taking the piss with like prices or whatever, but you know, my price reflects the quality, the time I'm bringing all that there to you. If you want something cheaper, if you want something that's not as good as what I'm going to bring, then there's plenty of other businesses out there. But you know, people can be quite condescending, like, she's just this young person.
And you've heard those things said before?
No, it's just sometimes the way that people look at you,
treat you.
They kind of, I don't know, not like, I would say like 99% of my customers are absolutely amazing. Like, they're fabulous and, you know, they are so lovely. I had a customer there at the weekend and she was for a hen party. And I was saying to her, she's the best customer I've ever had. Like, she was sending me over PowerPoints of the location, you know, with all the exact measurements, these diagrams drawn to scale of the exact measurements. I was like, this is the best customer
I've
ever had.
We were saying about boys earlier, it's a good thing you don't get boys because they would not get that level of attention.
Yeah, literally.
It's like, where is it? It's like the middle of a football pitch. Like, just that's all you probably get.
Yeah.
Like.
But no, I definitely find that it is quite difficult to be like a young entrepreneurial woman. And like, one thing that always makes me laugh is like, I have my van, you know, to go about and do things. And like, I be in my van driving about just doing my work. And the amount of people that like give me dirty looks for me driving this van, I'm like, have you never seen a girl drive a van before?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. And then you're just like carting all this stuff out of the
back
of it. And you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah, literally. But no, you can.
Have you had any issues with like people paying you and stuff like that at the start? Like, trying to take the piss that way, or has that all been smooth sailing? Because that's a big thing for people to start businesses.
Yeah, it's mostly been smooth sailing. Like, I have never really had any problems with people paying their invoices or anything like that. There, I have had some issues with where there's been damages and stuff, and people have been a bit reluctant to pay. That's only happened maybe twice. But that's it. But whenever you're in this business, you know, you're hiring your equipment out to people. If people aren't going to respect that and take care of it, you know, they are liable to pay for it. I would say that would kind of be the bad experiences of doing this, because, you know, I put so much into my setups and so much into my events, and I'll turn up and set all up for you and everything, and then sometimes I come back to see the stuff destroyed, and you know, that's so disheartening whenever you put so much in it.
Do you get like, so obviously like from you talking earlier, like obviously you put 110% into your business, like you always go with this lovely attitude, you can just tell, like, I know you before you came here, like, you know, just lovely person.
Oh, thank you.
Is there something whenever it crosses the line that like
demon
Sasha comes out and you're just like,
it's hard, because like, personally, away from the business, I'm one of these people who I'm really honest, and I find it really hard to mask how I feel. Like, if you've said something to me and you've annoyed me, I'll tell you, that's not on, I don't like that. Or you'll know by the look on my face. Like, that's what my friend said to me, is your face seriously like that right now? But so that's the hard thing. So I have had like gone into situations where I went in to pick up tents sometimes, and I've gone in and just the state of the place, I've just had to like kneel on the ground and cry, because it is so
breaks my heart.
It is, yeah. Yeah, you do. There has been a couple of bad instances where I've just been, it just really deflates you, And in those kind of situations, you have to, if you see the customer, you have to kind of, it's hard to kind of control how you feel, mm-hmm. and to kind of bring that kind of professional level back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something that people just learn with time. Like, I'm only been doing this a year, and 2 years time I'll be completely different, you know. Yeah. Like, your level of professionalism increases as your experience does.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's definitely one of my weaknesses, is if, you know, the emotional side of it, trying to control your emotions about it, because it is such a roller coaster.
Yeah, because you're literally, from you talking, like, you're putting literally, like, you know, blood, sweat and tears into this event for that person, nice, and then for them to turn around and you just fucking leave things laying their hole or whatever, like, it would, I couldn't imagine. I think I would lose
yeah
through something for a shortcut. But as you said, like, you have to remain professional, because like, at the end of the day, like, I think it's like, I remember reading a stat before, it's like, for every one bad review, you know, it outweighs, you know, 10 good ones.
Yeah,
and you're like, it's not worth it. In the end of the day, it's not worth going fucking ballistic over someone. Like, try to deal with them the best way you can. But the reason I sort of bring it up is because, for people listening that maybe, you know, are young and want to start business, it is going to happen.
Yeah.
110%. Definitely. And you need to accept it.
You really do. And, like, this is the thing with, like, entrepreneurialism, you know, it's this kind of, whenever you think about that, you automatically think of something like The Apprentice, or, you know, people walking about in suits, mm-hmm. and this kind of professional thing about it. But that is not the reality. It is one of the hardest things you will go through. Like, the journey of it, you have to do 6 different jobs the one time while being seen. Like, you know, it is, like, one of the toughest things. Like, I seen a video there, and it was, like, you know, about normalizing the other side of entrepreneurialism, where, you know, you're exhausted, you're crying all the time. Like, I firmly cry once a day. Like, you just have to, you have to do it. It is so tough, but it is definitely one of those things that, if you have it, if it is in you, and you're thinking about it, and you think, I think I would just love to work for myself, or I'd love to bring this, just do it. Because if you ignore that, then, you know, there's no point, you're wasting your own talent.
I always think, like, I've always used the analogy of, like, you know, people like Adele. Imagine Adele was too free to get up to sing.
Yeah,
you've, like,
exactly.
robbed the world of, like, you know, a talent. Or, like, she listened to that one stupid kid in school that was just like, shut up, or, you know, like, straight to sing. Like, you're robbing the world of talent. Do you feel like you always knew that you wanted to work yourself?
This is actually, like, funny, because I actually bumped into a friend who I went to school with in the bank there a couple of weeks ago. And she, like, see this thing, when I'm on nights out now, everybody's like, oh, Sasha T-Piece. I'm like, right, so not Sasha Darling, more just Sasha T-Piece. And this girl came up to me, and she was saying, oh my God, whatever. And she was like, you know, I remember you sitting in religion class in A-level telling our teacher that one day you're going to have your own business. And, like, personally, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that I have always had this thing instilled in me that I do want to be very successful. I didn't know what kind of path I was going to take me down, but then as I went through uni and kind of my own experiences, I kind of feel like, you know, I was more kind of wanting to do things on my own rather than following somebody else, if that makes sense. So it definitely was something that I always knew was in me. You know, you kind of have those, people have different characteristics, like, you know, people who like to work as a team, they have characteristics of that, whereas people just naturally want to go out on their own. So you know,
do you think there was, like, is there anything that sticks out, and, like, don't feel obliged to say yes to this, because I've asked people this question before and they've, like, just said yes for the sake of it, but do you think there was one thing in particular that you think back of that made you go, I'm gonna do this now, or was it just, like, you know, a build up of things? Did you have, like, a one moment you just, like, fucking were Google Ads, like, heard you talking about TV one time, then it popped up and you're like, fuck, I could do this? Or was it, like, just a cumulative thing? It's like, what was that? Was there anything in particular that made you go, I'm going to do this now?
Well, it was kind of like the pandemic, because, as I said to you before we started recording, I had a placement. I was in uni. I had a placement as an events coordinator assistant in Ten Square Hotel in Belfast. So I had that, and that was a possibility of a graduate job afterwards. And I was working part-time as well. And so I had all that, and then the pandemic hit, and it went. And, like, for the first week, I pure cried. I was like, you know, I had this whole life lined up. You know, I was going to get a flat in Belfast and had this whole life lined up. And then the pandemic hit, and all of a sudden it just went. And, like, my friends, they were all graduating. They were all, like, in, you know, graduate jobs. And I just felt like I was just a bit of a loser. Like, I just took up a pandemic job in Sainsbury's, you know, as a key worker. So I started that, and that was kind of what I was doing, and I felt like I was on a different level to like my best friend. She was going through, she was graduating, she was getting her proper job, and mm-hmm. whenever you see that, you kind of feel like you're at a low point.
Yeah.
So then that summer I literally just seen this, and I was like, no, I really do think I can do this. I was mm-hmm. like, I think I could do this, definitely. So I was like, oh fuck it, and I was like, I'm just gonna do it. But like, it's hard because whenever you're starting something like that, you're always thinking, what will other people think? Like, what will, like, you know, especially for girls as well, you're like, yeah. oh, what are people gonna say about me? Like, who does she think she is? Or, you know, but you really have to just kind of overlook that.
I embrace the who do they think they yeah. are. No, I fucking love it. Who does yeah. he think he is at his own podcast? And yeah. like, just run with it. It's yeah. like, I think whenever I think about it, for me, the thing that for me said it was like, I would rather be the person you're talking about than be that person that's doing
yeah,
talking.
The talking.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yes, definitely.
Like for you, like, it's one million times cooler to have a fucking, you know, TP hire company than be the person be like, look at her and her TP hire
yeah,
company.
Yeah, exactly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, stay to those other mm-hmm. people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and exactly.
I'll be rude just because I don't care.
yeah.
right?
Definitely. But, like, because I definitely, before I started this, I really did worry about what others, like, what others thought of me. I'd be like, you know, growing up yourself in a small mm-hmm. town, people talk about you and people say mm-hmm. different rumors and she's such and such or whatever. And so I was always kind of like, oh, you know, what are people going to think about me if I do this? But then I was just like, I don't care. Now yeah. I'm like, I really don't care. I know that mm-hmm. this is who I am. I know that I've proved myself. And, you know, if you don't like it, I really don't care.
I don't know what to tell you. Like,
yeah.
Good for you.
Like what do you?
It, yeah, it's interesting, and like, don't get me wrong, there is, you know, people that are fucking born to do the 9-to-5 and like
yeah,
fair play and stuff like that, but it's the part of it where it becomes like hate, or like it just has to be jealousy.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can put it down to. And like, you can't sit there and look, you know, someone's putting their heart and soul into something
yeah.
like you do with like your business and like trying to make it a success and stuff like that, for someone to sit there and then turn around and be like, you know, who do you think they are? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Someone has
Why
to do it.
Why would you
it.
Put somebody
yeah.
else down?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. Like,
it just, for me, it has to be a jealousy thing.
Yeah.
I can't see any other way around it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I know the saying, what's the saying? It's like, if you've nothing, I say nothing at all.
Yeah.
But like, do you find here, because I was talking recently about the small town sort of syndrome
mm-hmm.
and how you can actually use it to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
people talk about you and like, yeah, they're bitching. Or not bitching necessarily,
yeah.
but you also have the flip side with the small town. Everyone's talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And do you feel like you've got the support of the small town, or do you feel like you go like further afield? Do you know?
Well, like whenever I first kind of started, whenever I actually first started, I was like so secretive about it. I was like, I don't want anybody to know this is me. I was like,
really?
You know, I wasn't sharing my own stuff on my own pages. I wasn't, you know, doing
mm-hmm.
anything that like really linked me to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my school friends actually booked in with me like in the first few weeks, and I was like, oh fuck, it's like she knows this is me, like what am I gonna do? And then like over the next couple of months, it kind of came out that it was me. And then in October, yeah, no, like it's some big secret, like. And then I was like, right, fuck it. I was like, I'm gonna put a face to my page.
Mm-hmm.
So I had done like a post to my page, you know, introducing myself, and
mm-hmm.
I actually had like put up all this stuff about you know, about worrying what people would think of you, worrying about what your customers would think about you, because for me, I was thinking, God, are my customers going to think I'm too young? You know, they're not going to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like all about that. I was worrying. But then I kind of found that after that, you know, like as I said, now on night out, like, it's the first thing that people mention
mm-hmm.
to me. And, you know, I haven't talked to that person, but it's the first thing they mention to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people have been really supportive
mm-hmm.
towards me about it. Obviously, I'm not going to know if there's people saying negative things
yeah.
about me, which I'm sure there is. But I'm obviously not going to know if people, like, what negative things people are saying. But, like, largely, I would say I've, like, it's been quite supportive
yeah.
Within a small town. But I find that, especially this year, I've really kind of reached further afield. Like, I get a lot of support from, I have a lot of customers from Tyrone, I have a lot of customers from like Belfast direction,
mm-hmm.
You know, I get people from Derry, I get people from Donegal, Dublin, all over kind
mm-hmm.
of, you know, looking to book in with me. So it's been a fantastic year. Like, that's
yeah.
That's
it. I think people sometimes miss a step with their business. And like, for you, it sounds like people wanted yes, you're hiring white knight teepees, but they wanted you. Do you know what I mean? Like, they want the person. I know that sounds cheesy and sometimes hard to hear about yourself, but like, they wanted the person. Like, you sort of think of like, I'm just trying to think of like hotels and all. It's nice to have a name to the business. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's okay. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, PTs, for example. You know, you could brand yourself as like, you could brand yourself as like a generic, like, Mr. Lift or whatever you want to call yourself. Like, but they want the person.
Yeah.
Everything now, like, especially in like this year, everyone wants like a personal connection with the thing they're doing. Like, I'm trying to, like, if you're booking your, again, your PT, you want the name.
Yeah.
You want the generic name. If you're booking, like, even for boys, like your barber, your hairstylist, for girls, like, you want the name of the person.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear that I go to, you know, Rogue Barbers. You want, oh, I go to Daniel. Yeah. Everyone wants that intimate thing. Exactly. Now, it's really strange how it's twisted like that.
Yeah.
But especially, like, as you said, and it goes back to, like, what we talked about at the very beginning, people are trying to copy you.
Yeah.
But they can't copy who you are.
Exactly.
And what it is you add. And that must be a nice feeling.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm like, I am my business. Like, especially the past couple months, I've been saying this, you know, like, I am the business. People, my customers get me. They don't get, I'm hiring a tent. They get, oh, Sat is doing my tent. It's going to look great. You know, she's going to be, you know, she's going to be great with it. I am, like, I always try to just bring that full me to the table rather than, like, if whenever you think about, like, with marquee kind of businesses, you just hire marquee.
Yeah.
Whereas with me, you kind of get the full package. You know, you get that correspondence between the both of us. You know, you're a personal person to me. You know, you're not just a figure, a customer, a number. You know, I want to make sure that you're going to walk away from this tent happy, that you'll have great impressions of the service that I've given you and that I've had a memory in your mind. Do you know what I mean? So that's, like, people can't copy you. They can only copy the things you do, but they can't copy you. You know what you're going to, you know, what you bring to your customers and nobody else can really take away from you.
I'm interested to look going forward. Now, obviously, let's not give too much away in terms of what you've planned for the future, but, like, do you feel that, like, you know, what you're doing now is, like, scalable to where you can do that full-time, or is it, like, you want to get a job and get more experience somewhere else, or, like, how does that work out? Because I know, like, people like to plan, people like to look ahead. What would you think for the future?
Well, see, at the minute, it's kind of a hard one, because we had actually planned to go away to Australia for this time of year, but obviously the borders are closed, so we are talking about doing it next year instead, once the borders are open. Because I feel like I've been in uni from I was 18 till I was 23. You know, I've never really had the chance to go off, so it's something I've always wanted to do. And with my business being quite seasonal, I do have the flexibility to go off and do that and then come back from this for the season. But I'm kind of in this in between stage now where I've just graduated. You know, I'm not sure whether I want to completely scale the business up or not. Because there definitely is opportunity. I definitely feel like this year has given me so much experience and it's given me so much confidence in myself that I know what I can bring to my customers. So there's definitely an opportunity there for me to really kind of invest a lot of money and completely scale my business up and take it from there, you know. But it's hard because that's such a really big commitment to make at 23, you know. Like, that is a very... it is a very hard commitment to make. So kind of at the minute, deciding what kind of path I'm going to take. You know, we're finishing up now the teepees for the winter and I'll probably do some indoor stuff and some event styling in between now and next season. But in terms of what the next step is for me and the business, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, it's because like I'm 23 and like, a lot of people our age are in the same position. You know, you come out of uni and you're like, what the fuck?
What
or even there's people
now?
That a lot of people listen to this are like 18 and stuff as well, going to university, and it's so hard once you come out.
Yeah, it is.
I find myself very lucky. Before I went to university, I had a year or two of like, you know, nothing. I worked.
Yeah.
And like, see, once you get out of the, I don't like, I always refer to it like the educational tunnel.
Yeah.
Because all you're focused on is like your pieces of paper, your GCSEs, your A levels, your degree. Like, that's all you really are striving towards. But once you get out of there, I think you sort of start to see more. And like, you're like, I think like your life values and stuff like that increase.
Yeah.
And what you want to do. One thing I always live by is just like, no regrets in terms of like, you know, if you think you want to do something, go and do it. Worst thing that happens is you fucking hated it. But you've settled that way, you know, that itch. You know, if you have that itch, go do it.
Yeah.
And go travel. I know it's tricky at the moment with fucking borders and vaccines and stuff like that, but like, as someone that sort of maybe I definitely learned more from my year out of not being in education than I ever have been in education, I think, and about myself. I definitely wouldn't be doing this if I didn't come out of education. like, I wouldn't be, you know, probably wouldn't be the person I am, you know, without it.
Yeah.
So it's really important, I think, within that year of coming out of university, don't rush to the first thing that everyone else is going for. Like you said, and I've been in your position too, you know, you see your mates going to do other things, and it's fucking tough. Like, I seen all my mates go to university, and it was really hard, and I was at home, and they're partying, and living student life, and that's really, really hard. But at the same time, I would not go back and change one second of it.
Yeah.
And that brings me back to my original point. Just don't have that regret.
Yeah, you know? Don't. Like, it's hard because, you know, like, I have, like, customers and brides, you know, inquiring for me for next year. But whenever you don't physically know what shape your business is going to be in next year, it's hard to make that commitment. And, you know, like, people, family, friends have been saying to me, oh, if you do go away, are you just going to drop your business? Like, whenever you've worked hard to build something up. But then at the same time, you know, you've built up your reputation, you've built up a customer base, you know what you can bring, you know, that is something you can come back to and start to rebuild on again. But it's hard to know, like, people forget that I am only 23 and I'm literally graduated a month ago. Like, I was doing this business for the majority of the time I was in my final year uni, you know. It is hard to know what your next step is. You're kind of at that stage in life where do I go now? And that's something you can only kind of figure out with time, what you want to do.
I think people get very obsessed with careers to an extent where it gets in the way of other things that are important. Like, your career, don't get me wrong, it's very important, but in the end of the day, the way I look at it is, your job's there for your income. You know, have your life. If you do something you're 100% passionate about, you know, make a living off, like, you know, events, and that's what you love doing. Like, trying to think, like, you love events, say you love, I don't fucking know, say you love football, and you get the event management side of the, you know, your football team or whatever, like, that's a dream job for people, you know, and that's perfect. But for the majority of people, you're never going to get that. So, like, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, your career can get in the way of what you're trying to achieve. I would always advise, take the time and sort of, you know, if you have an itch, go try it. Things will be here when you come back. It might be a bit more competitive for the likes of you. People might have scaled their business up a bit quicker, but in the end of the day, you know, you can always come back to it. It will be here, like,
it will, definitely.
And it's one of those things, it is tough, but I always just, I live by it, just, you know, it all happens for a reason. So if you do it,
it's been, whether I, you know, completely scale the business up or whether I take a break from it to figure other things out, it doesn't matter, because the experience I've had over the past year, like, it, like, I feel like I've aged about 6 years just in this 1 year. I'm a completely different person to the girl I was last summer. Think completely different away, value different things, know a lot more about myself. You know, I know my capabilities. So it does completely change you, and that experience is, like, it's irreplaceable, you know. It brings so much value to your life. So regardless of what I do next, I've always had that experience, you know. And, like, I've worked, like, the past year, I started this business in August last year, and in that year I was doing the business, running the marketing, the admin, planning events, doing setups, doing collections, running all that, then working part-time, then doing a final year of uni, doing a dissertation, and then I finished all that in April, and then was full-time with the business. So, you know, I've worked so hard, so now I'm kind of at a stage where I need to figure out what I want, you know, like, what's the next step for me, and take that time to do that.
It's good, because I sort of think back to, you mentioned, like, you know, how you felt you were behind everybody
through
that year, whereas now it's probably fair to say you see yourself maybe a wee bit ahead of everybody, because you've done it all yourself. Like, if you go in with two CVs, one person started a business from the ground up, literally, and the other person, you know, has been in somewhere maybe not as full hands-on as they maybe want to be, you know who you're going to value more, like, 100%, like.
It's been, like, it's an unreal experience to, like, that you'll always have, like, I know I'll always have that, and to do it, you know, at the stage of my life that I did it in, it's been great, but now I'm kind of at a stage where I'm like, right, what do I want in the future, and I'm kind of picturing my dream jobs and stuff, and this is, you're going to think this is so random, like, but at the minute, my dream job is to work in F1. Love to work in F1.
I've actually really recently got into F1, and I can 100% see why.
Like, see, the whole atmosphere, or or something, not particularly, doesn't, I would prefer F1, but, like, say major events, you know, something, working backstage, something like them, you know, organizing, being part of that, like, I'd love to do something like that. So, you know, that's something I kind of would like to explore.
I always think F1 is one of those things. I think everyone at one stage, you always had the dream of like working at F1, but for like for you even talking, it sounds like something that's 100% achievable. Like, and like, fuck yes, sign me up, take me around the world, yeah, and let me watch cars run around. And fairness, so they run a tight ship.
Oh my god.
You
want to
talk
crazy
about event management? That's probably the yeah pinnacle of it all. Like,
yeah,
you'd probably come back flipping fully grip.
But like, see the thought of that, you know, they're like, they're always like going off to a new place like mm-hmm every week, like the thought of that time pressure and the thought of that stress actually excites me.
Yeah, see, that's really strange, like,
isn't it?
That's so strange,
so weird.
Like, I actually used to talk about how like I get a really big kick out of like customer service, mm, and people are like, what's wrong with you? Do you know, like, when you help someone, they go, oh, thanks for so much help. I'm like, fuck, you know, you
yeah
feel good
I love
yourself
that, yeah.
But there's people that look at you and be like, what the hell is wrong? I can't think of anything worse yeah than having to talk to people or like help them.
No, I love that. Yeah, I really, that's what I loved about working in Sainsbury's, because like you would have these wee customers and they'd be like, they'd just be so personal with you, like, mm-hmm, you know, you'd have your wee personal relationships. Like, I literally went into Sainsbury's last week just to get groceries, and like three different customers come up to me, like I was in my own clothes, and they're like, oh, well, how you doing? And I'm like, class, like. I absolutely love, like, I just love talking to people. Mm. So I don't,
no, I'm the same, and that's why I always say this on my podcast, it gives me such a brilliant reason to be weird and talk to people. You can yeah ask them, so if I bumped into you on the street and started asking you questions, you'd be like, what is wrong with him, he's so intense. Like, he is super intense. But we're going, what's there, there's an hour minus 2 minutes for the wasp attacks. But people have sent in questions, so I want to get a lot of them, generally work into the conversation, but some of them are just a wee bit more direct. So first question, what made you recognize a gap in the market for your business? Was it the lack of TPs?
Yeah, it was pretty much, like, there was nobody else doing it, so yeah, that was it.
Again, people interested in the TP tents, why TP tents in particular? Like, why not go for something like, do like the domes or like other mm things like that? Like, what made you think TPs?
I don't want to say anything else about those kind of other options, because, you know,
you don't want to,
there is, I don't want to slag off
yeah
anybody else's business. People like different things, people have different preferences, you mm-hmm know. You could have three t-shirts sitting in front of you and you pick which one you like.
Yeah,
and for me the TPs was just that. There's just something about them that I just really loved in comparison to other structures. Like, I'm not a marquee person.
Yeah,
they're not for yeah me. They just remind me of, you know, your cousin's communion 10 years yeah ago. Like, they're yeah just not for me. So TPs were just kind of, they were just so original, and, you know, they really blend in. You know, they're quite natural as opposed to something that's like hard and white and
mm-hmm
in your face.
No, definitely. Definitely something that's nicer to look at. Yeah. Just in general, even if when they're not decorated, it's like, oh,
yeah.
You know, you walk past them, like, here, that's cool. Yeah. Whereas you walk past, like, you know, the marquees and you're just like,
they give a wow factor, like, because nobody's really seen them before.
I feel like marquees could be people's ex.
Yeah, marquees are my ex. Like, they actually are. Oh my god.
Someone wants to know, what goes into designing the interior? Do you, like, did you design before? Is it all in your head? Like, what's the process there?
It's all in my head. Like, oh. I literally, I'm quite a creative person, but I'm not a drawing person. So mm-hmm whenever I'm thinking of an event concept, I literally just have it all in my head. I have just these images of how exactly it's going to look.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so satisfying whenever you bring that to life.
Yeah.
Whenever you have exact things in your head and this image, and then you just transform
that's
it.
That's something I wish I was good at. I'm really bad at, one, drawing, and two, I have something in my head, create it, and I'm like, this looks nothing.
What was in my head?
Yeah. Like, I'm in the process of, like, I'll be moving to Belfast, so this whole setup will look different on video very soon, and, like,
yeah,
I'm trying to create, like, a more studio vibe, and yeah, I'm like, fuck, I know what I want, and like, it's never gonna be like, I'll never be able to create it. I'm gonna try to get like Austin to draw it out for me or something, but, like, so I can physically get the things that I
yeah
need. But yeah, art and fucking design,
no, I can't do it. Like, I would love to be able to, like, some, I've had a customer be like to me before, oh, can you send me over the design idea? And I'm like, no, it's in my head, I can't mm send you over it.
Yeah,
I would love to be able to draw it and draw out exactly what I'm thinking
all
there.
All them unreal
not
sketchbooks and all,
yeah,
the pages.
That'd be unreal, like, yeah, that'd be so impressive, but I can't do it, so.
I feel like you don't have the time for that.
No,
either.
I don't.
It's easier, it's a lot quicker to have something in your head and just,
like,
roll with
yeah
it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, it's hard with mine as well, because if you had somebody, like, working for you, you know, I have the image in my head, I know exactly how I want it to look like, mm, and that person won't help me achieve that,
yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's kind
of, do you feel like
it,
it's one of those things where, like, you have to do it because no one else will do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel like if anybody else did it, it would not be right to me. It has
yeah
to be done by me. I know, that's
the
so
standards
bad.
Are high.
Yeah, they
the
are.
The standards are high. Someone wants to know, I suppose this is a good, there's a good business question. Do you think normality, in quotation marks here, normality will cause a decline in the demand?
Yes, I do think so, that it will affect it slightly. But I definitely think that the past few months, you know, outdoor events are here to stay. Like, there's been a massive shift between, you know, outdoor weddings, outdoor hen parties and all. I think that people will definitely utilize it a lot more.
I think it's been a good, like, it's like a good, like, it's been a good opportunity to see things that we didn't have before.
Yeah.
And, like, go with it. Like, outdoor events before were literally, like, you'd be a crazy person to have an outdoor event in this country because weather and all this other stuff.
But like, now, like, people are just all for it. Like, they're just so stress-free. They're safe. You're in the comfort of your own home, you know. I think it probably will decline a bit, but I don't think, as long as you're bringing the standard that you do bring to your customers, I don't think it will affect me as much.
I'm trying to think of something that like really said the big one I was thinking of the other day was, remember coffee trailers? Like during the pandemic they were fucking massive, and in my head I remember walking past them thinking like, when pubs open up no one's gonna want to go for a coffee anymore. And that sort of like, to me, when I put my fucking business head on, I was like, you know what, those things probably won't be here forever, but with yours, I'm like, people go back and say for like a week or two and realize this is annoying. Like, people have got used to space.
Yeah.
Again, if you know what I mean. Like, I've said it in here, I've said it 100 times more. I like socially distancing.
Yeah.
It's fucking class. People not being able to come within 2 meters of me is unreal.
Yeah.
I don't want to be standing shoulder to shoulder to bar, like, ever again.
Yeah.
Now, the table service on that slowing down gets a bit annoying. But that's a different story for a different time. We'll go with, where's the last question I wanted to go with there? Yeah, so I guess we sort of touched on this one, but it is sort of like, someone's asking it. Like, what is the next, what would be the next big move for your business, do you reckon?
If
like, because you've done weddings and that's quite big.
If I was to scale up the business, the next thing I'd be looking at would be those big massive teepees, like the likes of you see in Finnebrough, like Fodder. It would definitely be bringing those teepees into the equation and kind of really scaling it up and doing proper events. Like, people might know of Magna Carta, you know, they have those big massive teepees. So they were actually my inspiration, but that is where I would like to go. I would also really love to have my own wedding location / glamping place.
Okay.
Like, that would be the dream, you know, that would be the end goal, to have like a location where your guests come to you, where you have all your teepees,
Steve,
you have everything.
Putting teepees up every weekend.
Oh my god, I would like, I would love to have my own location where people can come to me and, you know, have different facilities and stuff. But obviously that is something that is a huge investment and is not something I'll be doing at 23.
Definitely. I think that's gonna do it. Have you any like closing comments or anything else you think of?
No,
off the
I
top
really
of your
don't
head?
Think so. No.
If you're going to start a company, go for it, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. If it's something that, if you're one of these people who's in school and you're not quite knowing where you're going to go, what path you're going to go down, all that there, don't sweat about it. Just kind of look at what you're good at as a person and use that as guidance. And if you do feel like you have something entrepreneurial within you and, you know, you feel like you might be more of a leader than a team player, I think that this is quite like stigmatized, where people are like, oh, that person's bossy or whatever. But no, if you have that quality within you and you think, oh, I would love to start this, I would love to, you know, bring this here, just do it. Just go for it. Don't care about, the main thing is, do not care about what people think, because 100%. People will always have something to say about you. If I didn't start this, people would probably be saying, like, that girl, she's graduating, she's working in Sainsbury's, you know. So people will always have something to say to you, say about you, but it's up to you to just ignore that and go with whatever makes you happy.
No, 100%. I couldn't agree with you anymore. I think the other point that I was going to make on that was just that, like, you know, it's so much easier now. I remember being in school, like, we were same age in school, like, there was nobody saying anything like this that you could easily access or see. Like, I think, like, not to toot our fucking own trumpets here, local people in Uri that are trying to, you know, broaden their horizons.
Yeah.
And speak for myself, I'm sure you're the same. Like, everyone's accessible. You know, if you are that person in school or you're young and you listen to this, like, send us a message or, like,
yeah,
you know,
literally, definitely.
No one would, like, people like us would never shut you down.
Yeah,
ever,
definitely.
And encourage you, because I was that person too in school. You know, you were saying about, like, medicine and, like, law and all. In my school, it was just go to university. We don't give a fuck what it is you
do.
Just fucking, we want you to go there. I played for my local tech and it was like, I think I got like 2 seconds out of my careers teacher for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And,
like, now whenever I bump into, like, you know, teachers from school or whatever, if I tell them what I'm doing, they're like, oh, you know, kind of like almost if they don't believe you, yeah. You know. But yeah, it was something that was never, it was not something that was really kind of made like knowledgeable to us, mm-hmm. You know. The only business thing I ever encountered in school was business studies, yeah. Which was brutal. So
yeah, and then I was like, this is so brutal, I'm gonna do a degree.
Yeah, I'm never gonna do this.
Fuck's sake.
The amount of times I like got put out of my business studies class for swearing at the teacher because I was so bored. Like,
yeah, that's, oh fuck, don't get me started on school stories. The only thing I will say about teachers in school, if you are listening to this, is like, nobody's dream is to be a careers teacher.
Yeah.
Nobody goes, I want to be a teacher. What do you want to teach? Careers.
Yeah.
There's just people that literally didn't get the job they wanted. Yeah. So,
but like, do not sweat. You know, you're young. I'm 23 and I still don't know what I'm doing.
You have
like,
so much
you know,
time. Like,
you really do. You have you so do. Much time. Like, whenever I was 18, I never flippin' thought I'd be doing what I'd be doing right yeah. now. So, you know, really just do not sweat. You're young. You can do whatever you want. The world's your oyster. Mm-hmm. Just freaking have a good time.
Yeah, literally just go and have a good time. Enjoy yep. it is what you're doing. Let the haters be haters.
Yeah.
You probably don't even have any. I don't even know yeah. what I'm doing anymore. There's none of them, no one ever says any shit anyway because they all just talk to their own loser mates. But yeah, I think it's going to wrap us up on that beautiful sunny note.
Yeah, lovely.
Sasha, you've been an absolute star and all the best with the TPs in the future and all the travels that hopefully we soon get to do.
I know.
I can't wait. I'm actually going on a plane very soon, so you should document that on my YouTube. Probably see how that goes. Probably get fucking trapped in Spain for 10 days. Oh, the stress already. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
No
it's
problem.
Been an absolute pleasure. We're going to find all your stuff.
So my Instagram and Facebook is White Knights TP Car, and you know, like, if there is anybody that has been listening and has been thinking about anything, please just don't hesitate to send me a wee message, mm-hmm. You know, or a wee email, or my phone number's up there as well. So.
Okay, perfect. Thanks very much, guys. I'm Sean. This has been Smack Talk, and I'll see you all again in the next one. Thanks, Sasha.